Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I went by the skate park, which is they did a wonderful job with it. When does it close?
By the way, you ever have a question where you feel like, I think the other person knows the answer to this? I feel not like I'm being set up, but I feel a little bit like I'm being set up. This is Delarian Wiggins, City Council President, asking Mayor Reeves yesterday during the agenda review for the Pensacola City Council meeting, hey, when does that skate park close, y'all?
So right now our park hours are dawn to dusk. What we're having to manage is the security. There are lights there because to have security, you know, be able to keep same way you keep shop lights on after you're already closed, so you can see in. That also is encouraged in all of our early enthusiasm about the skate park for people to be skating there, which we're certainly aware of that. And so we're trying to manage those two things. And
I had this same question because I saw a really good video online of night skating at the skate park, and I'm like, I thought the skate park closed at dusk. But there's really bright lights. Well, there's really bright lights because what would happen if the skate park were shrouded in darkness the way it had been before the skate park was installed? Well, it's not that you wouldn't get skating, it's that you'd get, you know, night skating and all the things that come with darkness, which is bad behavior. So we've left the lights on in order to discourage the bad behavior. But if you have the lights on at night at the skate park, it's a kind of an easy thing to infer that, I mean, the skate park's open because the lights are on, right?
Like we do with everything. You know, we've got a day use marina that's opening that we've had a lot of meetings about. Same idea. We know that it's going to take us a little time to make sure that we get management. Make the right decisions on how we want to be able to manage it. We don't think that turning the lights off is necessarily the safest thing for us to do. But so right now we think we're taking the lesser issue, which is it is open later. I mean, people are using it later. It's not open, but it's using it later because there are lights, but we are trying to manage that. So
yeah, so Mayor Reeves is exactly right that on the one hand, if you turn the lights off, people will still come and then the behavior is likely to be worse. And if you keep the lights on, well, why wouldn't they come? You know, unless you are going to be out there actively kicking them out, or, you know, you've got like night patrol there, because all city parks are like this. I mean, we don't put up fences around the parks. Sometimes people go to the parks at night, you know, right? Like, and, you know, I mean, that just sometimes they shouldn't. Sometimes when they go to the park at night, they're just citizens going to the park at night. Sometimes when they go to the park at night, they're doing bad stuff, like any other facility, right? So, back to Delarian Wiggins.
I got a few complaints. One is people are parking all over the roads, different sides of the roads. Got reports of some drug use being utilized at the parks.
Yeah, which is concerning, and the parking is bad. I drove by there the other day on, what day was it? I'm trying to think now. I got a Sunday, Monday, I don't know, Saturday. I don't know. It was over the weekend, I think. Yeah, because I was downtown with the family for something, and now I just can't think of what it was. Anyway, drove by, did a little video. I don't think I posted it yet. I posted it today. But, yeah, I mean, it's being very used, and the parking is a nightmare, which I think we all kind of anticipated.
I went by there Saturday night intentionally. It was almost midnight, and you had about 60-plus people still congregating at the park. So I think if we're going to send a clear message, we need to do it early, instead of waiting until, you know, months down the road to where we're not enforcing it. So I would like to see if the park hours are from sunset to dusk, and we need to enforce that.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would basically mean having security. I mean, that's what other option is it? That would be the option because, you know, there's no fence because we decided not to build a fence. And I think that's right. You don't want to build a fence around, what, that skate park only, you know, to keep people. I don't know. There is not a great obvious solution to this problem. Otherwise, we probably would have already had it in place.
And as we discussed, you know, part of this, obviously, some of the design was, you know, happened years and years ago. That was one of the conversations about, you know, would there be a fence or would there not be a fence? It's a large area to have fenced in. So, you know, it's one of those things I would say, you know, probably, you know, was not fleshed all the way out with the start of the design. So we're going to manage it the best way that we can. But I understand what you're saying and agree with you that, you know, we don't want to get too far away from us and it won't. So we'll get back and get you updated on exactly how we'll handle that.
So a couple of thoughts here. One thought is, A, we are not the first municipality to operate a skate park. So I'm sure we can make some calls and just find out, you know, what do other cities do with this problem? Because this cannot be a problem that's unique to us, right? So, like in Gulf Breeze, if I recall, I think it's all within a chain link fence, so I bet they lock it at night. Milton, I cannot remember offhand. I have to look and see. I can't remember if it's in a fence or not in a fence. I think it might be, but it's my memory's a little hazy. So, you know, fencing may be the alternative. Okay, but again, this is a common enough thing that I imagine the solution's got to be available if we just make some phone calls. But if you don't do that, like if we don't go to a fence, let's say, one way you could solve this problem is, hey, let's talk to Upward Intuition and John Schell. You know, you guys are closest to this problem. What do you think we can do? And what kind of participation or cooperation can we get from the skaters if we're committed to trying to keep that park closed at night? You know, what do you think can be done and how can we get them on board? And, you know, self-policing will be the best policing. And the skaters certainly are happy to have the facility. And, you know, what can they do? I don't know what that would look like, but I think John would be closest to the people to be able to know that. And then the third possibility, and I'm a little bit surprised this didn't come up, is we could just say it's open at night. Now, there might be some liability issues. I'm not quite sure how the insurance policy for the city reads. And that's an issue that's come up also with people. A lot of people have been asking me, well, why aren't bikes allowed? And I'm like, the insurance policy. Because bikes versus skaters is a problem. And again, not a unique problem to this facility. Other places have, you know, done it by having separated hours. They allow bikes at certain times. We could do it that way. But again, I don't know how the insurance policy is written for this thing. But the other alternative is just let it be open. You know, if people want to skate at midnight, let them skate at midnight. Now, then you have noise issues and there's some neighborhood in that area, right? But there's not a lot of houses right there, if I remember correctly. But that would be the issue, mostly would be noise. I personally don't have a problem letting kids skate at night. I mean, as opposed to out and about through town creating havoc. They're all in the skate park. That's kind of the purpose of having the skate park, is to give them a place to recreate. And, you know, I, pardon me, it's been a long time since I was a kid. I don't know even if there are curfew rules in the city of Pensacola for, you know, based on age. I just haven't looked it up, but I, you know, even if there are, they're probably, what, an 11 o'clock or a midnight curfew? So, you know, maybe close it at midnight. But again, you have the question, well, what do you do, turn off the lights at midnight? We're not the first county, we're not the first city to encounter these problems. But my answer, just if I happen to be on city council, is I probably vote to just let them play. And let them play and see what happens. You know, what's the unique problem that's going to come from having kids in there, you know, and adults, I keep saying kids, but, you know, having people in there skating at 1 o'clock in the morning or midnight? Again, they've got this beautiful thing. They want to use it. I mean, let them use it. There's no fundamental reason why you couldn't let them skate at night, I think. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
For adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy, now there's Skyrizi, risankizumab riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months, and Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Nothing in me go hand in hand, nothing on my skin, that's my new play.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
With SkyRizzy, you could achieve 90% clearer skin. Ask your doctor about the number one dermatologist prescribed biologic in psoriasis and visit SkyRizzy.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZZY to learn more.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Well, we're going. We don't need roads.
Probably the most famous quote from Star Trek ever.
Sure is.
It sure is. You know what I love? People are so delightful. Most people who are our listeners are laughing. They think that's funny. And I bet you, if you give me like about 30 seconds, I bet somebody's going to text and be like, you know it's Back to the Future though, right? Uh-huh. 521 on News Radio 92.
It's when you start getting complaints.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly
right. But that's for
right.
Cat country people. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Oh,
go to hell.
521 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
President Biden will be welcoming House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and other top congressional leaders to the White House today to try to resolve the standoff over the debt ceiling. Of course, Congress needs to pass legislation to raise the borrowing limit by early June to avoid a default. Officials in Texas have now identified the 8 people killed in a mass shooting at a mall near Dallas over the weekend. The group of victims includes a 3-year-old boy and 2 grade school girls. Several others were also hurt after the gunman opened fire. And if you haven't logged into your Twitter in a while, well, they're about to begin a purge of inactive accounts. Yesterday, Elon Musk said the affected accounts will be ones that haven't been active for several years. He also noted that users will probably see follower counts drop as he starts purging those accounts.
I love it. It's so great. I feel like, you know, all crimes will be allowed during this time. Because it's...
Oh, the purge. Yeah, right.
I was looking for the drop real quick, and I couldn't find it fast enough.
You
I was
have
so
a
angry.
Purge
I like where you
drop?
Went there.
I do. Of course I do.
Gross.
Well, but my computer's just being...
Are either of y'all on Twitter?
I have, yeah.
I'll probably be purged.
I'm very.
I think I've got one.
I'm a very low grade participant.
Say goodbye to David and I.
Yeah. So I have to go log in and make sure. Now, I mean, I use Twitter very irregularly. Just, you know, usually I wind up using Twitter because there's some link in some story and it takes me to Twitter and I'm on Twitter again, you know. So
the first and last time I got on Twitter, it was to talk to the Rock of Love Girls. Because I just wanted to meet them, and they were, and they would write back, and then that's the last time.
That's fantastic.
That's when I got laid off, isn't it? I know, from TK. I was like, okay, so it's been a long time. The purge is beginning.
Nobody likes this sound. Wait a minute. You know,
that's a terrifying movie.
I know, it really is. Put up the plywood and get your gun. Never helps, by the way. That's not enough. David, thanks so much for the update and for scaring the bejeebus out of us. 523.
That was you.
Yeah, no, that was me.
Yeah.
523 here on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, very interesting conversations at the the Escambia County Commission on Thursday. We didn't get a chance to get to all of this on Friday. You know, Friday is the day. It's just always so busy. And with all the stuff yesterday with the medical examiners, and we'll get to that later in the show, but some very interesting conversations, including a very involved conversation about OLF-8 and the future there. And basically the question of how much of that site to have set aside for, you know, residential, which is what the builders want because that's where they make their money, versus having it set aside for light industrial. And then, of course, you have like kind of the retail and the commercial end, and then amenities like, you know, community value kind of stuff. But Jeff Bergosh says,
now, in terms of Are they going to bring, you know, a P.F. Chang's or a, you know, Cheesecake Factory? I really don't care. That's a business decision sure. based on what they're going to do. What they will do, and you're right, is they're going to put the housing in first. That's the dessert. That's where they make their money, and they put them up quick. That's why I never wanted it. But again, we made the deal. So if they buy the whole parcel and they decide they want to do the housing first, again, that's a business decision on the buyer. I mean, we're still waiting for the shops at Nature Trail. It never came, right? It's all just a forest in the front. There were supposed to be shops there because they made money on the housing.
See, I didn't know that about Nature Trail. It makes sense that the concept designed for Nature Trail would have had some kind of retail in the front. I mean, his steak dinner could have been right in front of his house, basically, and now it's not, which I can understand. I'd be frustrated, too. I mean, I don't think the people in Nature Trail are angry. They love where they live, but, you know, they would have loved it, like, a little bit more if they could have shopped right at the entrance there along that forested front. He's exactly right. I didn't know that was the history.
Someone you know, and I'm not going to say his name, but he's very influential in town, came to me on a Friday night and said, Jeff, you're right. He goes, if you wait, you're going to end up with what we have downtown at the Maritime Park. It was never good enough. And now we have a bunch of empty parcels 10 years later, 12 years later. So, again, I don't want perfect to be the enemy of the good. We've got a nice offer. Now we have the time to hammer out exactly what we want.
Yeah, and that's a fair concern. I mean, validity of the claim of an anonymous community bigwig endorsement aside, you know, there's still the, you know, that's a realistic concern, is that if we don't do anything, we get Community Maritime Park in 5 years, right? And that, or 10 or 15. I mean, that's, you know, that's, I think that's a reasonable thing to, we are all looking at the tech park wondering, my God, you know, what happened here, right?
Commissioner Bender, are you asking to withhold more than 100 acres that we agreed to with them that night?
I didn't agree to anything.
No. You voted for it?
Maybe? No. We agreed that. No. We said
there was a 5-0 vote. I remember that.
We said we were going to talk to them. We didn't say what the acreage we were going to hold back. We said everything's negotiable.
Okay. So, the answer is yes. The answer is yes. You want more than 100 acres?
I want probably about 250 is what's on the master plan right now. So.
Okay.
So
I just want clarification.
The 100 was what was thrown out there. We never discussed it. We never negotiated that.
Sure.
They were trying to anchor us to that. I'm going to try to keep as much as I can for that.
So you got what? It was originally 636? So I have in my head. I might be wrong about that. But we sliced off 100 for Navy Federal, so 530 or so that's left. Again, I'm working on memory here. But the question of how much of that to be held back by the county specifically for job creation, light industrial development on the north end, which would be off Frank Reeder Road and have access to Beulah and not shove traffic and trucks off onto 9 Mile. Also wouldn't require you to build this big north-south road but through the place in order for the trucks to get there from 9 Mile. You know, these are kind of all questions. And who would pay for that road? Triumph, maybe not so much anymore. Do you want a road leading right through that separates Navy Federal from all the stuff on that property? Anyway, this question of, you know, how much to hold back in the deal from the builders so that, you know, we would control it or at least be able to some degree superintend its development of in terms of type of use anyway. And, you know, Commissioner Bender says, hey, I'd like 250 acres if we're going to go into this negotiation. Commissioner May.
This is sold as a jobs program. It's kind of like Children Trust. It was sold as a program for poor children, and now it's you know, just give anybody money. That it was created for jobs,
right?
And that's the reality for high wage light industrial manufacturing jobs,
right?
I mean, and that's what was sold to the citizens of Escambia County.
Yeah, so I mean, and you have, I think you have at least 4 votes for that. You probably, you know, Stephen Barry, Lumen May, Commissioner Jeff Bergosh, and then Robert Bender. I think Mike Kohler's concern is about losing the deal entirely, but I mean, you know, Bender, Bergosh, and May were basically haggling over the exact number, kind of in a fun way.
Again, I don't want to necessarily kill the deal on saying 250, but that's where I'd like to try to end up.
Yeah,
and if they say, oh, we can't do it if you hold back 250, well, you know.
What if they say, well, we can do 200? Well, then we have a conversation.
We have a conversation.
But if we start at 250, at least we got a chance.
But again, at 250, we've already acquiesced a little bit.
Yeah, and that's come down a lot. And again, Mike Kohler says, well, I'm just worried about losing the deal in its entirety. Because, you know, the way things might change, which is, I think, a fair concern. And that same concern that Jeff Bergosh is saying, he's concerned about that. They kind of want to be able to have it all right now, which very understandable. Bender?
But Mike, for me, it's not about making the quick buck. I mean, this is truly a transformational piece of property. I mean, it's not the vacant lot in the neighborhood still. I mean, this is something that can define a community, that can... you know, I mean, it's a game changer, and that's why we spent 20 years going after it.
So, and this is the big point is, what's the end result going to be on that land? Obviously, the, you know, D.R. Horton, if they wind up being the party that we engage with on this, and they certainly look like it at this point, objections and criticism to the side, they want to build houses. That's where they make a lot of their money. Well, how can we do that, recoup our costs, make a profit maybe in the process, and then also get the various amenities, the restaurants and the shops, and the light industrial manufacturing kind of places on the north side out of the side of 9 Mile, and make it the kind of place where we get everything and nice public amenities to the degree that there's still space to do that. And certainly there's plenty enough that you could do that. So it's a process. It's just kind of the conversation as it's developing, and I wanted to give you a sense of kind of where the discussion is right now. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next right after Fox.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Social media posts by this suspect in Saturday's shopping mall shooting in Allen, Texas, include pictures of the swastika tattoos, the mall, and information about peak crowd times.
Two sisters in grade school were among the eight killed in the mass shooting in Allen, Texas, near Dallas. Investigators still don't have a motive for why 33-year-old Mauricio Garcia opened fire at an outlet mall on Saturday. A spokesperson for the U.S. Army says Garcia entered the armed forces in 2008, but was released within a few weeks.
Fox's Trace Gallagher. Russian President Vladimir Putin speaks at an annual Victory Day parade in Moscow, commemorating the defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II.
He says civilization is at a turning point, that a real war has been unleashed against Russia. He accuses the West of sowing hatred and Russophobia.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now it is partly cloudy and 72 degrees here in Pensacola. One person was taken to the hospital after being stabbed in the stomach last night. This happened near West Scott and Northeast Street. The Escambia County Sheriff's Office telling Channel 3 the victim's injuries appear to be non-life-threatening. No suspect description has been given, and right now deputies continuing to investigate what happened. A man wanted for the attempted murder of his girlfriend last year was arrested nearby in Walton County. 37-year-old Jesse Suggs was arrested in Dufuniac Springs by U.S. Marshals Task Force, along with some local police from several area departments. And Suggs is accused of nearly beating his girlfriend to death in Tennessee, then threatening her and her daughter's life if she went to police. Authorities in Tennessee have been looking for Suggs since April of last year. Governor DeSantis has signed a bill that outlaws sales of farmland or land near military bases in the state to China or six other nations.
Our food security is also national security, and so we don't want the CCP in charge of any of the food production.
And DeSantis signed three bills total yesterday. Another bill bans TikTok on state-owned devices and networks. And the third bill prohibits state colleges and universities from entering partnerships with those other seven countries. A road rage incident in Milton left one woman facing aggravated battery charges last week. It all started when a woman allegedly pulled up next to a vehicle on Highway 90 in East Milton, pointed a handgun at a man who was driving with his kids.
Guns are appropriate for self-defense, not for traffic disputes. And, you're going to get arrested when you pull this kind of garbage.
That advice from Santa Rosa County Chief Deputy Shane Tucker. And he says deputies were able to identify the woman because the handgun was uniquely colored and the victim got a good description. The Florida Highway Patrol says one woman suffered minor injuries after a Mini Cooper crashed through the front of a Pace UPS store yesterday. Now, investigators say this happened at the store on UPS store on Highway 90. A 60-year-old J woman apparently drove the Mini Cooper through the front of the store after being involved in an accident in the parking lot. She then accidentally put the Cooper in gear and pressed the accelerator, drove over the curb into the store. The 35-year-old woman who was inside the store at the time suffered minor injuries from glass and debris. It's 534 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. It's going to be another warm and humid day today. We will have an isolated chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon. Rain chance will slowly come to an end as we go into the evening hours. Overnight tonight, temperatures staying warm in the 70s. As you go into your Wednesday, we will have a very similar forecast. Showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon. Very warm and humid with highs in the low to mid 80s. Overnight on Wednesday, we will have temperatures drop back in the low 70s. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 72, partly cloudy in Pensacola, 73 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Tune in to News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Choosing an early education program is one of the most important decisions a parent can make. Make the choice that is right for your child and your family. Tune in today at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel and join Ms. Keani Richardson, the director and owner of the Navarre Montessori Academy, as she answers questions. That's today at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel, but no pets or glass, and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, Grits and Greens takes the stage. And the Warriors, a powerful four-piece band best described as rock and roll with a soulful and jam-heavy delivery. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7, brought to you by the Santa Rosa Island Authority.
Listen to local talk, national talk, local news, and national news on News Radio Pensacola. Online, newsradio923.com, or by downloading the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I do love that piece of music from True Romance. It really is fantastic. Yesterday, I had a chance to talk to Dr. Deanna Oleski. She is the medical examiner for District 1. You sometimes hear it referred to as DOMES, District 1 Medical Examiners. And Rick Bailey, who is the owner of Waters and Hibbert Funeral Home, he is one of the three funeral directors who wrote the letters that were, you know, sent to the county, and then publicized by Jeff Bergosh on his blog, and then even wider publicized by the PNJ and Channel 3 and by us, and became a big story. You know, a lot of criticism of her office in those letters, and we had a chance to talk to them yesterday. And by the way, just a side note, you know, you can always listen to our podcast at newsradio923.com. This interview, a typical podcast, you know, 50 looks, something like that, maybe 100, you know, this one's got 1,000, so 1,000 since yesterday.
Over 1,000.
Yeah, over. So this seems to have been a fairly significant news story yesterday, so pay attention. Dr. Oleski and Rick Bailey, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News. Hold on just a second. We'll start that one more time. Dr. Oleski and Mr. Bailey, welcome to the Pensacola Morning News.
Well, at this moment, we had a meeting on April 21st with Mr. Bailey, as well as several other funeral homes that had concerns. And we had a very productive meeting for about 3 hours discussing their concerns and addressing our own concerns. After following that, we went over and we did a quality assurance kind of review of our cases to see exactly what was going on. And we couldn't find much of the claims that were made, such as, you know, being slow with turnaround times for cremation approval. So that's one of the things that we have to review because cremation is finite. Uh-huh. And we review almost 7,000 years between two different doctors, myself and another doctor. And our average turnaround time is less than 20 hours, and that's including the weekends. So on average, we turn around these cremations within 2 to 3 hours at most. The going forward, I think I had actually established a really good working relationship with Mr. Bailey. We kind of figured out that we're from different perspectives here of helping families find closure in a different kind of way. I'm here to, you know, provide justice and tell the truth, and Mr. Bailey has to provide the closure and saying goodbye.
You know, and there were a wide variety of claims made in these three letters, right? Everything from your staff was hard to work with or non-responsive to some fairly gruesome claims about ways bodies have been mishandled, leaking body bags, and some even sort of over-the-top comparisons that I don't want to mention on the air because I felt like they were well beyond the pale. And did you find sort of anything to justify those claims and that wide scope of concerns?
No, none.
And have you had any chance for those people making the allegations to give you refutable or at least, you know, investigatable facts about dates, times, places, photographs, anything that would substantiate the claims that they had made?
None. We are obsessive compulsive when it comes to documenting things. And we take note of exactly how the body leaves our facility, including all their valuables and what they came in with. And we inventory those and we release those to the funeral homes and they then take possession of. We are very careful with our quality assurance processes, and I had not found a single person that had trash in their body bags. I did not find a single torn body bag or leaking body bag. If they are leaking, then we transfer them to a new one, because more often than not, those leaking or poorly made body bags are coming from not us, but outside agencies like the hospitals.
So if that's true, where did these letters come from?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess this is where you come in, Rick, because you were the author of one of the letters.
Yes, sir.
And there were letters from two other funeral home directors. You had made some criticisms of, in the scope of criticisms, the ones that were in your letter were, I would say, much more mild and had more procedural orientation to them. We didn't have any of the sort of salacious claims being made in yours.
Yes, sir.
But you tell me, I mean, how did this happen? Are you satisfied now that, I don't know, your chance to talk. What do you think about where we stand right now?
I think the medical examiner's office and Dr. Oleksi and I have a good relationship now. We've discussed all my issues. She's addressed them, answered my questions, and really has reached out with all of her staff to work with us and us with her as well.
So do you feel like the things that prompted you to write that letter were more misunderstandings or misperceptions? I mean, do you feel like you need to, I don't know, recant or change anything that you've said before?
Well, there were two or three issues that I brought up that they were valid issues, and okay, I got answers for those.
Okay.
I think some of the other stuff could have been left out, yes.
Okay. And I know, you know, they weren't your letters, the ones that were written by the other two funeral directors, but I mean, how did this come to pass? Did you just spontaneously and independently write this letter to the county? Was there?
No, sir. I was invited to a meeting with funeral homes and a county commissioner to discuss the issues. So I showed up for the meeting, discussed all among the funeral homes and the county commissioner, and then his request of us to write a letter is how all this began.
Wait, did you raise these concerns to somebody prior to that, or how did you get invited to this meeting?
It was a funeral director in town that invited me to this meeting.
Okay. And did he know you had had concerns in the past or had raised issues with him about the medical examiner?
The issues that I had.
Okay.
Concerns that I had, yes.
So one of the other funeral directors had mentioned it to you, but you got invited. Now, was it which county commissioner did invited you to the meeting?
It wasn't a county commissioner. It was a funeral director.
Oh, okay. But the meeting was with the county commissioner?
With the county commissioner, yes, sir.
And which one was that?
Mr. Berry.
Okay. And where did this meeting take place?
Sonny's Barbecue. Smokey's Barbecue.
Okay, which is his family's barbecue. Okay. So you met with Stephen Berry at the barbecue with the other two funeral home directors.
There were three funeral directors present at that meeting.
Okay.
Plus myself.
And what happened at the meeting?
Everybody discussed their issues, and the county commissioner was asking questions and details. And then at the end of the meeting, he requested that we write a letter to the county commissioners. And that's where the letters came about.
And did he give you was there a reason why he was wanting you to write these letters or?
I really don't know.
Okay.
With the way things have turned out, I have a lot of questions myself.
Okay. I just want to make sure I understand. There was a meeting with Stephen Berry at the barbecue, but there was another funeral home director there. There were four of you all together. Is that right, or there were three of you all together?
There were four funeral directors present.
Okay. And he had asked you guys to write a letter, and not all of them wrote a letter, right? Because one of them did not, I guess?
Just one did not. No,
one did not. Okay. And did anybody to write a letter to the county or to write a letter to the... Who is the authority that would oversee you, Dr. Oleska?
The
Medical Examiner's Commission.
Yeah.
So did he ask you to write a letter to the county or to the Medical Examiner's Commission?
He asked for it to be sent to their office.
Did he say, because that's weird, like why to them? Did he say why to them?
No.
Okay. And now that we're kind of at this phase of kind of understanding what's going on, what do you think about, do you wish you'd have written this letter?
No, not the way it's been handled. Absolutely not.
What was the handling of it that bothered you?
Well, first of all, this was an effort to address the situation with the medical examiner's office. But apparently by writing these letters to the county commissioner and the blog that was put out, that was not the intentions. That didn't accomplish anything at all for me or Dr. Alexi.
Were you surprised when you saw the other letters that were with your letter?
Well, I knew they were writing letters. Yes, I knew they right. were writing
you
letters.
You knew that was coming. All right.
Yeah, I was quite shocked when the blog came out and especially when he gave his professional opinion, which I don't think he's really aware of my job or Dr. Lexi's job.
Who, Commissioner Bragash?
Correct.
Okay. So, Dr. Oleska, you've kind of seen all this transpire. We've talked about how you've resolved things, at least with Rick Bailey. Have you worked with other funeral home directors since then to see what level of concerns? Because that was a question I had is, look, if this is, you know, two or three funeral homes who are have real concerns, it's likely that other funeral homes would have these concerns. Have you seen these questions and concerns from Okaloosa, Santa Rosa, Walton? Have you seen from anywhere else?
Following these letters from how this was handled, not only myself but my staff had reached out to all the funeral homes that we serve and across the four counties, and including across the whole southern Georgia, Alabama area. We serve 45 funeral homes in this district and about 75 overall of the region, reached out to everybody in Walton County, everybody in Okaloosa, most in Santa Rosa County, and I did not get the same feedback. In fact, I actually I got some phone calls preemptively saying, I'm so sorry that we had nothing to do with this.
Wow. So I guess what I'm still trying to figure out about all of this is why? Because it sounds like the claims were exaggerated at the very least. Or, like in your case, you had legitimate concerns, but talking with her seemed to work these out. Okay.
I got some answers, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And yet the way this all unfolded through the blog post and through the, I'm not going to give you the full document, but I'm going to invite the media to request the full document from the county. And, you know, starting with this meeting coordinated by the county commissioner, asking you guys to write the letters, but not to the appropriate authority to write them to them, and then holding on to those letters.
Well, it was a funeral director and the county commissioner together.
They were asking the letters right. to be written. Got it.
I'd never heard of the man before I met him that day.
Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate
right.
that.
I mean,
but now I look at all of this in retrospect, and I still don't understand why. Like, why this coordinated effort to criticize you to bring this issue out, which looks to me very much planned. Okay, all of this looks very much planned to me. I don't know how to explain this because I can't figure out who benefits from doing this.
Neither can I.
Nope, I can't either.
My impression was that he was going to assist us with communicating with the medical examiner's office, because I did have difficulty communicating with the office.
Okay.
And that was my thought of what this was all about.
So you thought the letter was going to be like an entree, was going to begin conversations that you had had trouble with, and that this would, hey, we've got some concerns, maybe that some kind of a communications would be brokered. That's what you thought was going to happen.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
And then when it got turned into this
political
disclosure, news, salacious political
right.
attack.
That was never, never, never my intentions. This should have never gone the way that it had gone. I mean, I had tried to talk to her office, but there was communication problems, which she has rectified since then. And she's met with me on numerous occasions to work with me, to talk with me. I've got her personal cell phone number now, all of her staff. So that was my expectation of it. All of this other stuff, I have no clue where or what that was about.
It sounds, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, I'll ask, it sounds like you feel used, deceived, misled, at least.
I would like some answers from them.
Okay.
You know, we've heard from everybody else. They've had a meeting with us. She met with all the funeral directors involved. We met with all of her staff. These people that did this or requested all this, we've not heard a word from. It's like they started the fire and ran.
Did you meet with the other funeral directors, the other two writers of the letters, Dr. Oleski?
So my staff did that day. I was actually, unfortunately, in the morgue.
Okay.
But her associate medical examiner was there, Dr. Lopez.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All of her staff was present that day at that meeting that we had 3 hours discussed all of the issues and concerns we had.
So as soon as this came out, within, I think it was 2 days, you guys convened a colloquy or a meeting where everybody was able to raise their concerns and ask their
Absolutely.
Questions and have answers made.
We met at their conference room, all of us present, all the staff, the associate medical examiner, Dan as well, to discuss the issues and concerns we had. And they were all addressed. Like I say, there were some things that were true. A lot of it could have been overplayed.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as myself, they've satisfied me. They've helped me resolve it. I've dealt with my families, and I have an open line of communication with them now, and that's all I ask for.
Well, that's a good end point. Of course, the way we got here maybe was not the best. We need to wrap it up. We're out of time, but Dr. Oleski, I wanted to leave you, if you have final thoughts either about what's happened or why or... You know, it seems incredibly coincidental. I have said this on the air. It seems too coincidental to not be related that the location of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Office, the location to be in Santa Rosa County or to have two facilities or whatever. And even in the blog, you know, Commissioner Bergosh denies it twice while attacking me, having brought the subject up a day or two prior to the blog. So too much protesting to me to be ignored. Thoughts, evaluation, why, anything that you have?
You know, honestly, Andrew, I never thought that you and I would make it in the same blog post together unless it was one of our demises.
Fair. That's true. Yeah, that's about right. And before today, we'd never met. We talked briefly on the phone once, but that's it, right?
Yeah, I've never met. I'm sorry. I'm not a morning person, so I really don't follow your show.
Neither am I. It's understandable.
No, I hear you.
Well, I just want to say this. Rick, I think it takes a lot of courage to come on the air and say, you know, hey, this is where things seem to have gone wrong. I wish it hadn't happened that way. And to, you know, tell the truth as you understand it. Dr. Oleski, certainly I think that things have been said and done here that were very inappropriate towards you. And I wish that had not happened, because everything I have heard about you from anybody else has always been highest of praise. So great to meet you for the first time. We'll keep asking questions. I don't know whether we'll get any answers more than we have at the moment, but I certainly think we've learned a lot today. And so I appreciate both of you coming in. Rick Bailey from Waters and Hibbert and Dr. Daniel Oleski, the District 1 Medical Examiner. Thank you for joining us on the Pensacola Morning News.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so that was yesterday, of course, and a lot of very interesting stuff in there. I still have a lot of questions. But, you know, this puts those funeral director's letters in a very different light, because now it doesn't look like this spontaneous eruption of, you know, grassroots opposition to Deanna Oleski. This looks like a manufactured character attack on a professional in our area who other to and prior to and aside from didn't deserve it. Manufactured by Commissioner Barry is what it looks like. You know, maybe there's some other explanation, you know, but why wouldn't you send it to the right authority? And why would he convene the meeting? And, you know, why would he request them to write the letter to the commission? And then why would those letters get sent to, you know, eventually to Jeff Bergosh? Why would he publish it? You know, and I mean, that's what it looks like. So what do we do with that information? 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hey, Pensacola. It's Judy Lacey with Barbieri Plumbing. We've been Pensacola's plumber for over 50 years. From leaking faucets to replacing sewer lines, we get the job done. My dad, Louis Barbieri, started this company over 50 years ago with a vision of providing the best service with honesty and integrity for our community. He also started our flat rate pricing system, where you know exactly what the job will cost before the work is done, so there are no surprises. Last year, we were voted Best Plumbing Company in Pensacola's Best of the Bay. Voting has begun in this year's Best of the Bay, and we would appreciate your vote again. We know you don't always need a plumber, but when you do, call Barbieri Plumbing, 850-477-8782. That's 850-477-8782. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. Remember, Barbieri Plumbing.
License number RF1106-7749.
With the largest selection of in-stock vinyl plank flooring at the guaranteed lowest price, Home Outlet is your destination for all of your flooring needs. Modernize your space with easy-to-install rustic loft stone core vinyl plank, including pad, just $249 per square foot. Or brighten your space with the Sanibel Pier waterproof composite core vinyl plank with pad for only $319 per square foot. Visit the team at your local 100% employee-owned Home Outlet to get started on your project today.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Are you curious about marijuana? Florida A&M University established the Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, also known as MARI, to educate the public about medical marijuana use, as well as the detrimental health and social impacts of unlawful marijuana use on local communities. Find out more at mmeri.famu.edu.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. The Life After 50 Expo is Friday at Sanders Beach Corinne Jones Center. Learn what seniors need to know at this free event. HappeningNextDoor.com for more. The annual Pensacola Kids Fishing Clinic is Saturday at Maritime Park. Registration begins at 8:30. The first 350 kids, ages 5 to 15, accompanied by an adult, get free instruction and a fishing combo. See Pensacola.fish for more info. Submit your events at NewsRadio923.com.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Stream online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola mobile app.
Early this morning, General William Scott flew to Seattle. Is his trip connected with the B-3 bomber?
Mrs. Rose, there, to the best of my knowledge, there is no B-3 bomber.
all-time favorite political movies, Wag the Dog. To my best of my knowledge,
I believe that's
nothing to do with
a true story.
Yeah,
100%. That was great.
So they literally,
I'm a Russian orphan.
They literally said the true thing that totally misled the media. That's fantastic. 5:59 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne, you have 20 seconds. What do you got for me?
Whew. Well,
I'll
this,
let you pass. It's
here's
fine.
What happened.
No, it's fine. It's fine. David wanted to have a look news coming up next. Eventually after Fox. It's my fault for he just didn't have enough time. I know. Well, we got to talk to the medical examiner and the funeral director and all the implications of this story. We'll be back.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.